Revelation 22 and verse number 6. Revelation 22 and verse number 6. And he said to me, these sayings are faithful and true. If that sounds familiar, you saw it in chapter 21. You've seen it a few times actually here. And the Lord God Almighty, the covenant name of God, the holy prophet, sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which shortly be done. Changes gears. And behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. When I had heard them and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then saith he, that's the angel, see thou do it not, for I am your fellow servant, and of the brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. If you underline and highlight in your Bible, you can do a lot worse than underline and highlight verse 6, and then these last two words there, worship God. And he said unto me, seal not the book, sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Don't conceal it, make sure it's published. He told Daniel, seal it up. He's telling John here, don't do that. Make sure this is preached and proclaimed. Verse 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. If you hear the message, understand what's going to happen. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. The words of the prophecy of Revelation, the scripture in general, have this effect. And when it's time for Jesus to come, you'll be stuck wherever you are. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly. Again, if that sounds familiar, that's verse 7. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Would you pray with me, Father? I pray you'd speak to hearts. Pray for those who'll be watching this later on. Lord, I ask you to help us today. Lord, the prerogative, the urgency, the immediacy, Lord, that comes across here. Father, as we are rapidly approaching the end of the book, and Lord, as we have seen the new heaven, the new earth, and all of reality change, I pray you would change and convict our heart. I pray this be more than intellectual curiosity. I pray this would be more than infinite and nauseam speculation. I pray, Lord, this would be concrete action steps in our life. I pray you'd help us. Help me to preach your word with power and authority. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would get honor and glory and you would draw people to yourself. I pray those who are filthy, they be clean today. I pray those who are unrighteous, they'd be righteous today. I pray for those, Lord, who are struggling. Lord, I pray that you would give them assurance. I pray that you would help us. Help us to see the world through the lens of these six verses. Help us to do exactly what we're supposed to, knowing now how it all works out. And I pray you would constrain us, convict us, and motivate us. And I ask all this in your son's precious and holy name. And amen. You can be seated. Be seated. Your fingers there just for a moment. I want you to go back to the start of things. Go back to Revelation chapter 1. And if people around you aren't changing their pages, you look at them and you scorn at them. You give them the frown. Give them the skunk eye and the side eye. Give it to Revelation 1, 1 through 3. I want you to see here. I want you to see these bookends, if you would. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. It sounds familiar because he's saying, I'm coming quickly. And he sent and signed it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ, and all the things that he saw. John got to see Jesus' earthly ministry. He gets to see him now resurrected, glorified, and coming again. Verse 3, blessed is he that reads and that hear the words of the prophecy. Keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The time is at hand. It's been 2,000 years, and the time is at hand now. He is coming. He is coming quickly. He is coming quickly. I've had such a difficulty because in these last few chapters, I don't know how to illustrate it because everything that we illustrate some of this stuff with is in the text. Again, we talk about heaven. That was a heavenly meal. That was wonderful. We use that, and there's nothing to compare it to. Heaven is its own comparative, so to speak. But I thought, what would it be like? What would it be like if I did this? If we went through here. And so let me help you a little bit. Let me help you. If I said to you that the financial markets were going to crash October 31, that everything that you got invested. The house that you own now would be worthless. The cars would be demonetized. Again, the only thing that would be of any value is the things you have in your hand. In other words, if you got a chicken laying eggs, hopefully there's no bird flu. But otherwise, I mean, just everything is going to be awful. Everything is going to be awful. Your debit card's not working. Truth of the matter, it wouldn't be even that. The only thing that would work would be an American Express. The only thing that would work would be an American Express card. You have to have an American Express card, and all cash is not honored anymore, only $10 bills. Market's going to crash. All your savings, all your finances, anything digital is toast except for an American Express card. Ones and 20s and 100s and 50s are no good. Only 10s. And you've got from now until the end of the month. You say, Pastor, with all due consideration, I don't believe you. Because I don't believe you, I'm not going to act on it. Not going to act on it. No offense to you, but you're just a bald, overweight guy who yells at people on Sunday morning. And I don't think you've got the kind of, I don't think you've got the CV to back up your prediction in your predilection. Fine. Understand what's going on. If you don't act out these six things that I'm about to unfurl for you here, you're no better than just ignoring me. If you believe me, you go get an American Express card. If you believe me, you cash in all your money and get $10 bills. If you believe me, you'd move everything that you've got in the financial world, 401ks and Roths and all that, you'd convert it into $10 bills if you thought it was all going away in the next 20 days. You'd live differently if you believe what I said was about to happen. And that's exactly what's going on here in these six verses. Verses 1 through 3 is the prologue there. He starts it off. And in one sense, everything we have done over these months, everything we have done from verse 4 of chapter 1 until verse 5 of chapter 22 has just been the apocalypse, just been the content. And he's booking and ending it. So you got the prologue, you got the epilogue. He writes to believers in these verses, and then he's going to write to everybody else in the next. He's going to say he's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, to the unbelievers. He's gonna one more time say, don't be like this. Don't miss it. Those who sin, those who are not right with God, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't die like this. Jesus is coming. So he writes to both groups here, and we're just going to focus on the believers for now. So what should be my response? Well, most of the time, our response is apathy, right? Everybody who doesn't know Christ will spend an eternity apart from Christ in an awful, terrible place called hell that's a temporary prison that one day be cast in the lake of fire, and we go, the world needs to know about Jesus. We give 12% and up on average. Again, that's way up from where we started to missions. Why? Because the world's got to know about Jesus. Man, you ought to pray. Here's a little booklet. Help you. 21 days of prayer. Focus in on praying for coworkers, family, friends like that. I don't think that's my cup of tea. Everything in these six verses. What should we do with what we have heard? What should we do? We hadn't preached on this for 18 months, but it's taken us 18 months on and off to get here. What should we do? Urgency. Urgency. You ought to be about the Father's business because he is coming quickly. And if you don't believe that, you're no better than not believing me for saying you need an American Express card and $10 bills and everything's about to be worthless. So what should I do? There are six action expressions here that I want to offer to you that if you believe Revelation, if you believe the Scripture, and if you do, say amen. If you do, then here's how this should work out. So you with me? So if you're doing the app, HardinValleyChurch.com/app, you can click on the notes, you can follow along. Otherwise, it'll help you if you go through here. Number one. Understand that everything in Revelation will come to pass. Go to verse 6. He said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. They are faithful and true. You see that repeated over and over. These are not fantasy. I mean, anybody in here, you know, people, when they start talking about Revelation, eschatology, end time stuff, Daniel, whatever, man, they just, you know, your eyes glaze over. And look. Because, you know, whether they're conspiratorial or whether they're just there, or they'll, you know, if they find out you like it, they'll start sending you YouTube videos and or some other kind of thing. And they're just, man, they just kind of lost their mind about all this kind of stuff. That's not what's supposed to be happening here. It's not about endless speculation. It's not about endless arguing. These are action items. Understand what he said in the plainest sense of the word. If he says it's going to be 7 years of awful, guess what? It's going to be 7 years of awful. If he said that one day hell, the temporary place, will be cast in the lake of fire, that's exactly what's going to happen. If he says he's coming again, you mark it down, he is coming again. Everything will come to pass. The word there is believe. Believe. If you and I thought things were going to end at the end of the month, we'd do differently. We'd do differently. I'm in this season of about every 3 months. But every 3 months, I see a lot of doctors, and I just kind of check them off. And then every 6 months, I have more of that, and so we go through there. So I'm starting my routine, and I'll do that now to really the middle of November. My doctors all laugh at me, and they all say the same thing. Said Rodney, and if they're Christian, they call me Brother Rodney. They say, Rodney, you actually do what I tell you to do. And I laugh and I say, I've spent 33 years of my life telling people to do stuff and don't listen. And so when I go to the doctor, I try and be a good patient. Good patient. If you tell me to do X, you tell me to do Y, that's what I'm going to do. And if you keep telling me to fast and stuff like that, I'm not real happy with you, but I'll do it if you think it's a good idea. I want to do it. I've got confidence in you, and the day I don't have confidence in you, I'm going to go find another doctor. I'm not going to give you my money and then ignore you. By the way, anybody ever go to the doctor and the doctor make good suggestion? You go, well, that was nice of him to say that. I don't think so. Anybody like me, every time you go to the dentist, you start flossing like a madman 3 days before you go. And you're like, he's going to punish me. He's got those sharp tools. He's going to get me. When we read this stuff and say, man, it's really going to happen. And folks who don't know Jesus, we've got some kind of alternate plan. It's like you got a sticky note in your Bible. Well, God will grade on a curve, and boys will be boys, and all this kind. Everything that he has said here will come to pass. You need to understand that. You need to take it to heart. You need to know that. Nothing there. He says what? He says, I am coming quickly. Chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Here again, over and over again, the declaration is in the refrain here. Chapter 3, verse 11, it's a promise, a blessing. Chapter 22, in other places, though, it is the warning. He says he'll come like a thief in the night. A thief in the night. When you're not expecting it. So somebody says, well, what's going on here? What's going on here? The church thought that Jesus would come back over and over again, especially if you look at the Apostle Paul. He kept writing. He kept writing that way. He said, Maranatha, it's an untranslated word in 1 Corinthians. We say it now, our Lord, come. Excuse me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. He commanded them to turn from the idols to God, from the idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven. Over and over again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. We say this to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. He thought he would be there. Will not precede them, prevent them who've fallen asleep, over and over again. Your Bibles are open there. Notice again, I come quickly, verse 7. I come quickly, verse 12. I come quickly again, verse 20. Get the point. You have to sense the urgency there. You have to sense the urgency. It can be translated immediately. It can be translated soon. It can be or imply soon, or it can be imply suddenly. I think it's all of those. I think we've been looking for a prophetic return. I was discussing with some of the fellows in one of the groups the other day. It was interesting to me. If you look at books before 1950, they couldn't figure out where's Israel going to be at because there wasn't an Israel. And in 1948, Israel pops in, and you look. And again, I bought a lot of things to help me with the study of the preacher, you guys, and you can look. And anything published before then, they don't know what to do with it hardly. And then after that, they're going, oh, well, look, there's Israel. There's Israel. 1948, United Nations recognizes Israel. Everybody comes back home. They start fighting for the land. They've been fighting ever since, by the way. They come back home, and here we go. We've got all this kind of stuff that's going on, and you see this, and now they've bred the red heifers, and they're trying to get those right, and they've got the high priest garments, and they found the cornerstone, and they got the plans, and they're trying to do all these kind of things. We're as close as we have ever been. People said, those two guys will die, the two witnesses will die, and it says the whole world will see it. How do you do that? We put the satellites up in the sky, and now everybody's walking around with instant digital technology. Charlie Kirk gets assassinated, and the whole world saw it in 20 minutes. We can do what we have never, ever been able to do before. And what was fantasy now was reality. And it is sooner and later than it has ever been. So what am I supposed to do with this? You're supposed to understand that everything come to pass. You're supposed to believe. Number two, you're supposed to live expectantly. That Jesus is coming soon and coming suddenly. I come quickly. I come quickly. Remember the former things to pass. I am God and there is none other. I am God, there is none like me, Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 say. Over and over, he will come and I am to obey him. I am to anticipate him. I am to believe him, rather. I am to anticipate him. I have a thought about this. One writer said it like this. What does it mean to anticipate? What does it mean to anticipate? It is the longing for Christ's return and for our eternal fellowship with him. It is the natural state of a believer to desire heaven, to live holy, to see Christ vindicated, triumphant over his enemies, to desire the end of the curse, the glories of his earthly kingdom in the new heaven and the new earth. After reading and learning about the prophecies in Revelation, we should love Jesus more, long to see him vindicated in his glory, live in light of the reality we will one day see him, disconnect ourselves from the worldly, earthly system, pursue heavenly realities and reward, and seek to be made like Jesus, long for a resurrection body, free from sin and the curse and all those things, and anticipate our eternal rewards. You living like that? I ain't been in a home goods store in a long time because I'm a man. But if the home goods stores sold something that I signed in some of people's houses, maybe today I'd go in there and I'd buy everyone they got. I'd stick them on over every door in our building. Maybe today. Maybe today. Maybe today you'll go see him. Maybe today he'll come back. Maybe today. But he's coming back. If you pulled out your list, and I left mine off. I even went in there to get it, and I left it. A little work list I've got. Keep with me. Somewhere on there ought to be maybe today. We make plans. The Bible says don't make plans like that. You say if the Lord will. We plan for everything. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I got news for you. I run into a lot of folks who say they know Jesus and they completely exclude him from their calendar. They completely exclude him from their value system. And the return of Christ or their death will be an absolute inconvenience because they've not lived in light of anticipating his sudden return. Is anticipate. I will come quickly. If you're still with me, say amen. Number three, what am I supposed to do? Verse 7, I'm supposed to obey. Pardon me. Blessed is he that keeps. Some of you got a center column note. Heeds the sayings of this book of prophecy. Blessed is he that keeps these things. I am to do that. I am to do that. I am to live this way. What does that mean? What does that mean to live this way? Live this way. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John chapter 14, verse 15. I need to obey the commands of Scripture. I need to not be found guilty when I stand before him. The word there has the idea of holding fast or guarding. This is precious to me. I will do this. God inspired Revelation for one purpose. Another writer said, to reveal the glory of his Son and call believers to live godly, obedient lives in light of his soon return. What are they called? They're called shorts or reels, or little snippets, a little TikTok-y kind of thing. Nod your head if you have any clue what I'm talking about. They're all over social media, and people send them to each other. You can attach them to a text message or an iMessage, stuff like that. And people are acting out things, and just for clicks and all. And you get these husband and wife teams, and they're acting out this thing, where the lady's trying to surprise her husband or something, with a nice meal, and he comes home with the baseball team, and it cuts off there, and you laugh, and the way these things are set up, they just play again, and it's 2 cents for every time you watch it or whatever it is, and all these kind of things, or you got the others, and there's a. I think it was last time I was mom, and my mom likes to watch TV with the volume off. Nod your head if you have a relative like that. And it's great just trying to figure out what's going on TV. And she's watching some cop show or something. I don't know what she was doing. She's like, I don't watch a few minutes of this because my other show's coming on. I want us to start of that. And trying to explain to her about the DVR, but we don't want to go down that road. And so we're doing this, and so it's the kind of thing where the ladies come in and caught her husband in their house with another woman and man, and it's just they're tearing each other, and the police are trying to separate them, and I can't tell what's real and what's staged, and truth of the matter is I don't care. It's the worst day of her life, and about to be the worst day of his life, and all this kind of stuff. We've seen the drama, the faux drama, the melodrama, all that. We get it. You ought to live in such a way, anybody walk in, it'd be all right. You ought to conduct your finances. Anytime the upper management comes in and checks out the books, you'd be okay. Let me get it a little further. Anybody check your YouTube history? Anybody check your browser history? Anybody read your text messages? You ought to be fine. You ought to live a godly life because Jesus is coming quickly, because Jesus is coming again. Because when he comes, I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. When he comes again, if I believe he's coming, and he is, and if he's coming, and he is, if I may see him before he comes back, it does. I want to make sure I am to heed, I am to obey. Christianity is not something you take off and take on for 90 minutes on a Sunday. This world will end. This world is headed for judgment. This world is temporary. Eternity is forever. Number four, don't worship angels. Don't be wrongly fascinated about the supernatural. Worship Jesus alone. Look at verse 8 and 9. You still with me? Still with me? Amen. And I, John, saw these things, heard them. When I heard them, I fell down and worshiped before the feet of the angel. He's so overwhelmed. By the way, he's had a big ride so far, right? He's seen 7 years of tribulation. He's seen a 1,000 years of the millennial reign. He's seen heaven and earth change. He's seen the new city of God, the cube city, the 1,500-mile cube city. He's seen all these things. He's a little overwhelmed. He does what is normal. The angel says, don't do it. I'm your fellow servant, your doulos, and of the brethren, the prophets, of them which keep the sayings of the book, don't do that. Worship God. Worship God. Long time coming, we kept a subscription service called Netflix for a while because they had a lot of programming on there, so we could watch an entire season of a show, you know, if we wanted to or something like that. We like procedural stuff like that. You know, somebody gets robbed, they figure out who robbed them, they convict them by the end. You know, any kind of procedural like that, we're kind of suckers for, as long as it's decently clean and stuff like that. But we kept it around. We didn't watch it a whole lot. And then last 2 weeks, I found out all these, all unbelievably pro-homosexual, pro-LGBT, pro-trans shows aimed strictly at children, cartoon at children, and it just awful. And I was saying to one of the families here yesterday, you know, the Cocomelon and all, I mean, it's just ungodly stuff. And they've married some of that with the paranormal. And so hooking people in because it's ghosts and goblins and demons and whatnot and supernatural and witches and mess like that. They've hooked them in and then they're doing the other. Now, just for fun, you vote with your feet and you vote with your card and you vote with your cash, all those kind of things. But if you're aiming sexual programming at children, you're just wicked. Somebody say amen. So we booted it again. We don't have young children anymore. I don't pay as much attention as I need to that genre, but we booted it. But I was looking at the most popular thing, and so I don't know what rank it was, but anyway, the K-pop Demon Hunters, and the music apparently is maybe live, maybe AI. There's a discrepancy, and anyway, but it climbed the charts. People were commenting on it. I listened to enough that I took a Q-tip with alcohol in my ear because I don't like earworms. Oh, and I just, you know, I don't need it. I'll get a song in my head, and 3 days later, I'm still humming. I've got that kind of personality. I don't need any help getting something stuck in my head. And the whole thing is they're pop singers in the Korean world, but that's their side gig. Their main gig is killing demons. Geared at young people. Now, it looks as vacuous and as dumb as anything you'd think with a name like K-pop Demon Hunter. I hadn't watched it all, and it'll take more money than you people have to make me watch it. Do not worship angels. Do not be fascinated wrongly by the supernatural. Worship God alone. One of the longest running series on network TV was a show called Supernatural that completely bastardized biblical teaching in order to make it about incantations and spells and amulets and objects and all these kind of things. There are folks who have spent hundreds of hours watching drivel like that, who play hundreds of hours with games where they exercise demonic forces, use spell casting, all these kind of things. They do all this kind of stuff. They do not understand. You are giving your love and affection for a counterfeit. You need to give your love and affection to God and God alone. Worship Him. Somebody say amen. Do not be there. By the way, as we head into the spooky season and the insanity season, you'll see more and more and more and more of that. Do not do that. Worship God. Worship God. If I understand Revelation correctly, by the way, I've seen the resurrected Christ. I've seen the Lord in all His glory. When I see Him that way, I'm not interested in the timing and the events and all that as much as I am in seeing Jesus. Number five, you ought to use it to bring conviction to the lost. Our word there is proclaim. Verse 10, He said to me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy's book, for the time is at hand. Don't hide it. Put it out there. As I was surveying this again, you know, a year and a half ago, I don't know why I had avoided, I knew it would take me a long time to get through it. I knew that was part of it in my Sunday morning preaching. Excuse me. But the other was, so many people, the only thing they're interested in is the curiosities and the oddities. They're not interested in the main message. The main themes is, this should bring conviction. This should bring conviction. If you understand that the world is headed for a fiery end, if you understand that God will one day sentence, not judge, sentence, you are already doomed and condemned now. You will just find out the extent of that punishment later on. As you stand before God, whose eyes are flaming fire, and who pronounces, your name's not written here, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. That's convicting. Don't hide it. Man, you got to let this message go. So, one writer said it needs to be urgent, and it needs to be unleashed. Let it roll. Proclaim it. Don't seal it up. Don't seal it up. What's he mean there? What's he mean? You're there, verse 10, verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. When Jesus comes, understand, you'll be stuck wherever you are. So when Jesus comes, I'll repent. No. When Jesus comes, you'll still be filthy. Say, when Jesus comes, I'll do this, I'll do that. No. The message is to be unsealed. The message to be urgent. The message is to be unleashed. I look through. I may end up writing something about this. There is almost universal disagreement about this. What does this mean? Is he trying to scare us? Is he trying to scare us? I don't know. You can scare me with that verse. You can scare me a whole lot in chapter 20 and chapter 19. I don't know you're doing much for me there. What you're telling me, what you're reminding me is that this is what happened. The message either melts the heart or it hardens the heart. The message that Jesus is coming again and that you're not right with Him will either help you or you'll resist it and reject it. Over and over and over again. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. It is sobering to realize that people's response to gospel truth in this life will determine their eternal destiny. I'm going to say it again. Your response to the gospel truth in this life will determine your eternal destiny. Say, well, I'll perish for a little while. Somebody light a bunch of candles and I'm out. Again, I'm been reading the scripture through since I was a late older teenager. I have yet to find any hope after you die. Never. Purgatory was invented to fill the coffers of the Roman Catholics. Nothing more, nothing less. It is not in scripture. God's Spirit always calls sinners to repent. If God's dealing with you now, God's dealing with you now, you need to respond to Him now. You will forever live together with God or you will forever live apart from God. Does that make you happy? It does not make me happy. But if you preach Revelation, you preach the prophecy the right way, if you preach it where Jesus is exalted, you preach that there's judgment to come and judgment to avoid, then you understand verse 11 is true. This is how it is. I want you to pause for a second. Again, I just got a second. I got to be done. Who are you going to invite? Who do you need to invite? Who needs to hear that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun? Who do you need to hear that the way they're living is indication of a rotten tree and that there's bad fruit there and that the best thing they could do is come to Christ and get saved and forgiven their sin? Some of you have written the same name on the note cards every month that we do. Man, I've tried to pray for them and I've got enough now. I almost do one a week and one of those sets of cards, man, and I pray and I reach out and some of them, you know, are coworkers, some of them are family, some of you are siblings and those kind of things. And man, would you, if you got serious about this, you understand, man, that preaching, the teaching, the proclamation, of the Word of God will harden some because they reject it, and it will melt others. Then come to Christ, and they must come to Christ because Jesus is coming. And finally, six things all from the text serve. So, verse 12: Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. We were doing what we do Thursday afternoon. Andrea's schedule now is she'll get off work, be over here, depending on how long a day she's had. She'll come in with coffee, get a little caffeine and sugar, and she'll drink the caffeine and sugar in front of me because I apparently, when I hit a certain age now, I can't have caffeine after 4 o'clock unless I want to see tomorrow. She might bring me a decaf, which is just angry water. It's just angry water. She came in. We're doing her thing. She's wearing her clothes she wore to work. Starting here, working her way back, cleaning up donut piles, and grabbing all the paper from Wednesday night. We already grabbed the paper. I already grabbed the paper on Tuesday. Everybody leaves in here from Sunday, and we're going our way back and cleaning the bathrooms and mopping the floors and wiping down everything. Just normal day. And I got thinking, how many times has my wife done this? I went and looked. I thought I might have a note or something. We'd had somebody who was helping and gave him a little honorarium. So I went and looked, and my wife, our family has, or in particular, I mean, but Andrea in particular, is at least 500 times cleaned his building, and because it's got to be cleaned every week. And I started to have a little fun with her. I was like, our church gets cleaned more than our house. But then I thought I'd have to live with one of you, and I went from being silly, and then I got real emotional. My wife has not done this for me. She's not done this for you. Most of you hadn't been here 10 years. My wife, hour and a half, whoever's here, my family, 500 times. Man, she's done this. She's done this because she believes that Jesus is keeping up. Because it needs to be clean when lost people come to service. And that the windows need to be wiped down and toilets need to be fresh. And she hadn't done this because she loves y'all. I'm convinced my wife had done this because she loves Jesus and believes Jesus is keeping up with it. No way, I can start going around the room. You know, Keith recording, editing, everything. Nobody knows he does that. Takes his time because primarily people watch our services way before they ever come. They watch our services all across, our numbers are all across the planet. People watch for different reasons. Some of you serve. I figured up not long ago, Bill been our treasurer for many years now. I figured up he'd worked four and a half months of 40-hour weeks being our treasurer. You don't do that for pay, man. You do that because you believe in Jesus and his system of reward. You don't give because it's easy. You give because you believe Jesus is keeping up with it. You believe that Jesus will bring his reward with him. He'll bring his reward with him. He will honor those who have honored him. He will give every man according his work shall be. You can serve, you can give, you can do all these things. You can serve the Lord because you believe that. We are so apathetic. We won't respond to a text message. We won't answer a phone call. We won't pick up the phone and call somebody who hadn't been here in 3 or 4 weeks. We won't learn anybody's name. We are so apathetic. We absolutely, positively do not believe Jesus will come back reward. And if we do, we don't think there's much to it. The financial markets will crash. The only thing that'll be any good are $10 bills and an American Express card. If you believe me, you'd move with urgency. You'd have your stuff done by tomorrow afternoon. You're right to doubt me. But you don't doubt me about this. I come quickly with my reward in my hand. You brought donuts today. Jesus kept up with that. You studied your Sunday school lesson today. You made it here at 9:30. Jesus kept up with that. You read your Bible Monday. He kept up. Tuesday, he kept up. By the way, you ignored your Bible Monday. You ignored your Bible Tuesday. Couldn't be bothered to pray. Jesus kept up with that. The works give every man according as his work. Paul says it differently. Reward, loss of reward. I want one pile to be a lot bigger than the other. Wood, hay, precious, wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stone. I want one pile to be a lot bigger than the other. Why? Because I get to give it all back to Jesus. An anonymous writer years ago wrote God's Hall of Fame. A guy named Alf Hutchinson put his name on it, but I'm almost certain it's not him. I'm certain he adapted it. It says, your name may not appear down here in the world's Hall of Fame. You may be so unknown, few even know your name. Fame and fortune pass you by and are given to a few. But if you love and serve Jesus, then there is good news for you. This Hall of Fame is only good as long as time shall be. But keep in mind, God's Hall of Fame is for eternity. To have your name inscribed up there is greater, yes, by far, than all the halls of fame down here and every man-made star. This crowd on earth, they soon forget the heroes of the past. They cheer like mad until you fall, and that's how long you last. But God, He never does forget. And in His Hall of Fame, just by believing in His Son inscribed, you'll find your name. I tell you, friend, I wouldn't trade. My name, however small, that's written there beyond the stars in God's celestial hall, for every famous name on earth or glory that they share, I'd rather be an unknown here and have my name up there. Pray with me, Father. You've written to the believer. Here's how we respond. Help us to respond. If we close our Bibles and turn off our phone apps, Bible apps, and this book does not affect us, we have missed the message. Oh, Jesus, would you help us? Would you help me? Lord, I pray.